Well, good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Education Matters, and we have a special guest today. We are talking to Mark Wilson, the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Tennessee Tech University. Mark, it's great to have you with us again.
Thank you, Bob. Really appreciate the invitation to be on.
Well, it's always an exciting time with to talk about not just tech athletics, but athletics in general and student athletes and all the great things that are going on at Tech. So we're glad to have you with us. Now, some folks may not understand the complexity of your job at Tech, so why don't you give us a little bit of a sense first of your background and how you arrived at Tech, but also sort of the role and scope of the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So this is my 17th year at Tennessee Tech, and so blessed that I've been here this long and had the opportunity to serve student athletes and the faculty, staff, and students and alumni of Tennessee Tech during that time. And really planned to be a teacher and a coach in my undergraduate education, then got lured into college athletics and have made that my career. So fortunate. And as the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Tennessee Tech, anything athletically is under my purview. So, you know, the coaches, tickets, marketing, facilities, compliance, everything that you can think of that a student athlete or a fan of Tennessee Tech athletics that they touch is under my area of responsibility. But I'm blessed. It's a great team that I have the opportunity to serve with. And the team is what makes us successful at Tennessee Tech. And so fortunate I have, great staff and head coaches, assistant coaches that I have the opportunity to work with to provide an opportunity for, you know, student athletes to compete at the Division I level at Tennessee Tech.
And we have a fairly complex set of competitive teams, don't we? There's a pretty wide range of activity there.
There's 14 teams that compete at the NCAA Division I level. That's the highest level of intercollegiate athletics. We're a proud member of the Ohio Valley Conference. I wish I could say that we were one of the founding members, but we actually joined in year two. The OVC was founded in 1948, and Tennessee Tech joined in 1949. But a longstanding member and proud member of the Ohio Valley Conference. And I know our student athletes and coaches and staff, we appreciate the opportunity to represent Tennessee Tech, our faculty, staff, students, and alumni, and the whole Upper Cumberland region in athletic competition.
And you mentioned facilities. We just finished a fall semester. It's been a few weeks now, but among other things that always is sort of the wrap-up to that semester is the Blue Cross Bowl. And so you just ended up hosting the state high school athletic football championships.
Yeah, we're very proud to partner with the Putnam County Cookeville Chamber of Commerce and their Visitors Bureau, City of Cookeville, Putnam County, and the university as a whole to be able to host that event and roll out the red carpet for high school student athletes and fans, and to do that during a COVID year and to do it successfully during a COVID year. It was great partnership and great work. It was a lot of work that went on behind the scenes to be able to host those this year and to meet all the protocols as set forth by Governor Lee's Unified Command Group, but we were able to do that successfully and to pull it off, and a great accomplishment for our community as a whole, and we're proud to just be a small part of that.
Well, I think it was great for Tech, great for Cookeville, and I know Governor Lee was encouraging athletic competition to go on as long as it could be done safely and securely.
Yes, and I think we did that with the Blue Cross Bowl. We've done that with basketball thus far. We've been able to, men's basketball has actually got all of their competitions in this year. Women's basketball, unfortunately, has not had so much luck. We did miss some games and cancel some games due to the opponents' COVID protocols. We've missed a couple competitions due to the Tennessee Tech COVID protocols. But I think overall it's going extremely well, and I appreciate that the Putnam County Health Department has allowed us to have fans. I know, like in the OVC, it's limited fans at almost no fans at Belmont. It's no fans at all at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville and Eastern Illinois. So we appreciate the opportunity that we have fans. We have the opportunity to entertain, and our student athletes really appreciate that there's the opportunity for people to be there to cheer for them.
And I know, having spoken to several fans who've attended various games, they have enjoyed the chance, even though they've had to wear a mask and social distance. You're keeping fans away from the edge of the courts more than normal, aren't you, in basketball?
We are. That's a 12-foot buffer that we have to have. That was required by the NCAA. So we've had the NCAA protocols we've had to follow, of course, CDC guidelines, the Putnam County Health Department, the Ohio Valley Conference, you know, Tennessee Tech. There's all these, you know, different protocols that have been put in place by all these organizations that are really good protocols, and we've had to make sure that we follow all of them. But the number one goal is to make sure we keep our student athletes, coaches, staff, and those attending the events as safe as we possibly can in the environment that we have.
Well, and I know I attended several of the Blue Cross Bowl games, and I think the fans were excited to be there, and they were pumped. They were pretty good about wearing masks, most of them.
Most of them were, yes. Most of them. Not all of them. I wish it was everybody, because we would get this virus and be able to move on with life, you know, post-virus, the best that we're going to be able to do that.
I agree. But, we just need to ask everybody to wear masks. There's no question.
But, amen.
But anyway, most of them seem to be compliant with that. And there were some exciting games.
There were some great games there, and great opportunity to showcase you know, student athletes, and that's been a great recruiting thing for Coach Alexander. You know, it started with head coach Watson Brown, then went on to Coach Satterfield, and now with Coach Alexander, it gives us a leg up in recruiting football student athletes, and hopefully it introduces a lot of people to our campus and our community, so they'll come back and maybe be a student at Tennessee Tech. Maybe they'll come back and visit here and enjoy the waterfalls and all the parks and the outdoor activities that we have, and shop in our stores and stay in our hotels and eat in our restaurants. I mean that's a big part of, you know, why we try to showcase our community in anything that we do tourism-wise.
It has a big economic impact on Cookeville.
Yes, it does.
And that's and the region, not just Cookeville. But I know I spoke with fans this year that just said they were, for most of them, they were returning. They'd been here before and were returning, and said they were glad to be back here, and especially glad to have their kids in the finals.
Yes.
Let's talk about Tennessee Tech athletics, not just football and basketball, but all of your sports. Talk a little bit about how many you expect to play this year and how many different kinds of sports, and whether any of them have been significantly altered in terms of how they're playing. I know football has been altered, and so we'll talk about that, and then maybe we'll broaden out to the NCAA after that.
Yeah, so sports has been significantly altered across the landscape, whether it be professional sports, college sports, high school sports. It has been significantly altered, and you just see that when you attend a Tennessee Tech basketball game, or watch that on ESPN Plus, or listen to it on you know, the Golden Eagle Sports Network. It has been altered, and you know, we've moved all of our fall sports to spring. So we will have 13 of our 14 teams will be competing this spring. The team that will not be competing is indoor track and field. The OVC Board of Directors of Athletics and the Board of Presidents have elected we could not figure out a safe and cost-effective way to host the OVC Indoor Track Championship, so we will not have a indoor track championship. So in consultation with Coach Dalton and the recommendation of Coach Dalton, we've decided we're not going to run any indoor meets this year. We just have not figured out how those can be conducted safely for our student-athletes and coaches. So we're going to focus on cross-country, because the cross-country championships and cross-country season begins here in February. Of course, Bob, you want to talk about football? Well, it's going to be very interesting, but there will be spring football at Tennessee Tech with actual games.
So that's sort of historic.
It is very historic. We have a 7-game Ohio Valley Conference schedule. Three of those games will be at home in the friendly confines of Tucker Stadium. Season tickets are on sale now, 931-372-3940. The unique part of that is that out of our three games, two of them will be on Sundays. So wow. There'll be Sunday afternoon football games. The game that will be on a Saturday is because I did not want to play a football game on Easter Sunday.
Wow.
So we're playing that game against Tennessee State on a on a Saturday. Of course, for all the schedules, log on to ttusports.com. But all the protocols that we have to go through, the testing that we have had to do to be able to keep our student athletes, safe and healthy, we follow those to a T. We're still a lot of the protocols are still being put in place for the sports that we have to do this spring. There's so many the layers of decisions and the multi-type decisions are so multifaceted that we continue to work through a lot of those protocols. But we're excited for the opportunity for our student athletes to compete. We think it'll be really good for their mental health to be able to compete and compete against outside competition and just not practice against themselves all the time. And we are trying with the spring sports. We were impacted last year at the beginning of the pandemic. We're trying to make them as normal of a season as we possibly can. But you're starting to see some adjustments in softball schedules and baseball schedules, and we'll make those modifications as they require and whatever we think is best. Number one for me is to give these student athletes the maximum opportunities that we can to be able to compete and to play games and to represent Tennessee Tech and to represent this community in athletic competition. But it is complicated. There are lots of changes. And the amount of testing that our student athletes go through is amazing. Like the NCAA protocol for basketball is 3 times a week testing. So if a student athlete has not been positive and they're still in a testing protocol, then they get tested 3 times a week. Some conferences, like some of the non-conference games that we played, specifically against Indiana from the Big Ten, Xavier from the Big East, they require daily antigen testing leading up to that contest. And
yes,
you see some of that in the Pac-12 and some of the other conferences. They are requiring that. And
I think the SEC football protocols, at least at some of the schools,
some of the schools was daily. So it's a lot of testing and just trying to keep this this horrible virus away from people as much as we possibly can.
We are going to take a quick break. We are talking to Mark Wilson, the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Tennessee Tech University. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Education Matters. We're talking to Mark Wilson, and we've been talking about the COVID protocols that intercollegiate athletics has to go through right now. I know after the national championship game, I was listening to some of the press conferences after that game and the next day after that game. And a couple of the young men from Alabama were talking about waking up every morning, and the first thing they did was get a COVID test. That team had really put in a disciplined approach to COVID, hadn't they?
They have, and the teams that are most disciplined, I believe, have the opportunity to have the most success. We require daily screening. We have an app that was developed with Putnam County 911 and EMA. That every student athlete, coach, and staff member, including myself, have to fill out every morning. We have to take our own temperature, put it in there. And then when we get on site, we have a temperature check. And then, of course, then the testing protocols that go along with that. I think at Tennessee Tech now, I think we're near about 4,000 tests that have been conducted.
Wow.
Just in surveillance testing on student athletes, coaches, and staff at Tennessee Tech thus far. And of course, then we're really starting to ramp up with playing football, and those that requires the whole bubble. And we've all heard that term, the bubble. The whole football bubble has to be tested weekly for those contests, and making sure that we follow that. Tennessee Tech is a place we do everything right. We're proud of being in compliance with NCAA rules and university rules. And now we've got a whole other set of rules that we're trying to make sure that we follow, and those are all the COVID rules and COVID protocols, and to do it right. And they're all put in place for a reason. They're put in a place to keep everybody safe, keep people healthy, and make sure that Tennessee Tech Athletics is not a place that this virus can spread rampantly, and we can help protect the community as a whole.
It's really important to reinforce that point, because I know there are folks that say, well, you know, I feel good. Why should I wear a mask? It's not just to protect you. It's to protect you from infecting others. And you may not know you've got the virus for several days. And you could infect a student athlete, especially in a confined environment, could be infected or infect a lot of other people.
Certainly could. And then you have a significant outbreak in your team and everybody that those student athletes have been around. And we don't want that. We have a responsibility to our community and to the university as a whole to make sure that that we keep people healthy and safe, and we want to be a leader in that. And I think our student athletes and coaches, as for the most part, have done a pretty good job. You have to remind people the biggest thing is masking, reminding people to wear their mask and to keep their mask on, For the most part, I'm really proud of the job that they've done.
Well, that's great. Talk for a minute about the economic impact. Does this testing cost athletics anything? Does it come out of your budget, or does it come out of other budgets at the university?
Well, we are so fortunate, because many college athletic programs, they are having to pay for the testing. We are actually using testing that is available to the public, that is free to the public. And that's where our student athletes, coaches, and staff. So we've been using the test site that the Putnam County Health Department does at the Putnam County Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our student athletes, coaches, and staff have gone. The basketball teams, with their antigen testing that is required, 3 times a week antigen testing. Then we've actually procured some of that testing through the state of Tennessee. So we've done that at a limited cost. And then athletics, we have purchased a couple machines for the University Health Services to be able to assist us with that antigen testing that we have done. But we have done it at a fairly cost-effective way with the partners that we have in the community. And I tip my hat to all the first responders and everybody working with the Putnam County Health Department and the testing and the vaccination work that they're doing and all the planning that's gone into that. And Lisa Bumbolo is an absolute rock star in this community for her leadership of that organization, and then also the people that I deal with on a daily basis. Leanne Ray, and the director of health services at Tennessee Tech, and then Kim Williams. Those are the two that are really helping us with our COVID protocols and COVID testing there. And they both are certainly rock stars that join Lisa. So we are really blessed that we have great people that want to help, athletes at Tennessee Tech have the opportunity to practice and compete.
I'm glad it has not had a financial impact any more than it has. And I know, let's just talk nationwide for a minute, not just Tennessee Tech, but a lot of schools, the football revenue that was not there this fall has severely affected their athletic programs, hasn't it?
It has. It's affected everybody, and it's affected us. We had a guarantee game scheduled at the University of Minnesota, and when the Big Ten made their decision not to have football, then their first decision was to play only conference football. Then they decided not to play football. Then they came back and played conference football, but we lost that game against Minnesota, and that guarantee for us was valued at $450,000 that we were going to receive. And yes, we'd have some expenses to go there, so we didn't have those expenses, but that was a hit. The basketball guarantees that we used to get on average, $85,000, $90,000, $95,000 per basketball game, that got reduced significantly when the NCAA changed the maximum number of games to 25 plus two exempt games, so 27, and then those guarantees went down. And then we lost games because of that. So, we've had budget challenges that we've had to work through at Tennessee Tech, but we know how to do that, and we've done that successfully, and everybody has equally shared the pain. And We had to unfortunately do a reduction in force with some of our staff members, and I hated that for those individuals, but we were forced to make those strategic decisions.
Well, and that's not new. That happens every now and then at Tennessee Tech. You and I went through several of those.
Yes, we did.
And those are painful times when they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk for a minute about student athletes and the effect that you've seen on them from this. It's added an extra layer of pressure and a lot of challenges, hasn't it, to the athlete and his experience or her experience.
It's a lot of challenges. And I don't think they're having the, you know, collegiate, certainly the young men and young women that have competed previously in college athletics for Tennessee Tech, they're not having the same experience as what we promised them in recruiting or that they had previously. The freshmen are not having that experience we promised them in recruiting, nor is anybody in the whole world right now.
That's right.
So we've all had to make sacrifices, personal sacrifices, to be able to be able to live, to be able to function. And, some of the things when student athletes get frustrated, I say, but you're not a family that has, you know, your mother or your father or you personally have lost a job and you've had to work through that. So the challenges that we face, are minimal in the whole scheme of life. But that being said, I do worry about the mental health of students and student athletes because it is just so very different. Like I worry about the mental health of our entire nation and our entire world because we're all living in ways that we never envisioned that we would live. I think nobody ever envisioned that we as an entire world would live under, a pandemic of this magnitude.
I agree. It has truly been precedent setting for the entire world, certainly for the United States and certainly for athletics. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Mark Wilson, the director of intercollegiate athletics at Tennessee Tech, and we will be right back. Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Mark Wilson, the director of intercollegiate athletics at Tennessee Tech. And Mark, talk about the impact on recruiting. I can't imagine, I know what a coach would normally do, a head coach, after football season or after basketball season or even during it. Mm-hmm. So how is this impacting next year's recruiting?
Well, recruiting is still going on. It's all virtual recruiting. It's all by Microsoft Teams. It's all by Zoom. It's all by FaceTime. It's all by phone call. It's all by email. It's not the normal, you go out and you watch the games. You've had to do a lot of watching video. So it is very different. But I think that there may be some efficiencies that we can learn from this that maybe can create some long-term cost savings in terms of recruiting. But still, we got to see have we been able to do a great job evaluating, the character, the academic ability, the athletic ability of the young men and young women that we're recruiting to be student athletes at Tennessee Tech. But I know I think across the board, I think we've done a really good job at that. So maybe that we can see a change in recruiting, and we don't have to be out on the road and away from families and away from campus as much as what coaches have been in the past. And I'm hopeful that we will see some legislative changes that we can operate and use some of these new technologies in recruiting that they've had to approve very quickly that may not have been permissible for recruiting in the past. But let's use those now and let's keep those as part of the repertoire and maybe less time away from campus, less time away from our current students and use the new technologies to recruit.
I know Dean Tom Payne and I were talking a few weeks ago about how this will probably change the way business is done across the United States. It's true for athletics, too. Microsoft Teams and other Zoom capabilities, there's a lot that can be done there, and it may really affect travel quite a bit.
Yes, it very well could be. I mean, I think a lot of the big conventions that we've always gone to or in meetings, I think you'll see more of those because it is cost effective. I think we've all figured out a way to be highly efficient in it. But sometimes the Zoom or the screen time, it does wear on you mentally. That wears on you mentally too, because by the time you're on looking at that computer screen all day and in meetings on that, you're exhausted by the end of the day just from that.
It does indeed, and it's a different world and not a world that I like in every case, but we've all learned to live with it, and I think student athletes are learning even to do press conferences on Zoom.
Yes, they are. They are, and they do it from the privacy of their own room now, and you know they can do it on their mobile phone, they can do it on their laptop, and it is quite amazing.
Well, it's truly remarkable how the technology has let us adapt. Not the same, but it works, and we can live with it. Mark, we've talked about COVID. We've talked about several things already, but let's talk some more about the NCAA and some of the sort of the big issues facing intercollegiate athletics at the national level and at the policy level. You've worked on those committees at NCAA. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to come back to compliance, but let's talk about name and image likeness, the Department of Justice letter, some other things like that that are sort of really current in the NCAA.
Yeah, great topics, Bob. And of course, name, image, likeness is the ability for student athletes to be able to monetize their name, image, and likeness for themselves. And that's all been prohibited under previous NCAA rules. But as we adapt and change, and as social media and social media influencers and all these different things that go on to allow the student athletes to just keep their amateur status, but still be able to monetize that. And we did expect the NCAA Council, and I'm blessed I was on that before. I am so thankful that I am not at this print time. Rich Tyner, the faculty athletics representative and a faculty member at Belmont University, is the current Ohio Valley Conference representative because he has put in a ton of work this year on all these things. But we expected them to vote on that on Monday, and they did not. They got tabled because the NCAA and our president, Mark Emmert, received a letter from the Department of Justice questioning some of the antitrust parts of that and the one-time transfer legislation that they were going to be able to enacting on as well or voting on. So I don't think we don't know all the details of what their concerns are as of yet, but, there's been lots of talk about that, nationally for, transfer and student athletes being able to transfer one time and be immediately eligible at their next institution. The adjustments to the academic progress rate that need to take place and all of those things. So that is, kind of delayed right now. And we did think that at this point in time, we'd be beginning the implementation of all that, after we learned the details of the legislation. So those are big, big items that that have been going on and, trying to make sure that we avoid, lawsuits and all that. So I think we're looking forward to getting more information so the council can make the decisions and give the member institutions the direction that we need.
And it's a really complex topic when the NCAA represents very, very large institutions and reasonably small ones. It's got to be overwhelming in terms of some of the ramifications.
I would think it would be. And then, you've got programs like, Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee that generate so much revenue and make so much money to fund their athletic programs. And then you've got athletic programs like at Tennessee Tech, where 75% of our budget, comes from, direct institutional support or a student athletic fee that our students pay. We're not generating all that external revenue. So to try to find legislation that meets all of that across the plethora of NCAA Division I institutions, and then it's going to go to Division II and Division III. So it is extremely complex, and I appreciate the leadership that everybody is providing on that subject to the NCAA. So we as member institutions can do what's right for our student athletes.
And Mark Emmert, the CEO of the NCAA, has been a university president, so he understands the university perspective on these things. But still, they've got to be, it's sometimes seen as a big gorilla in this activity.
I believe it is, especially with the lawsuits that the NCAA has faced. I think every time that they turn around, there's a lawsuit. And the NCAA, they're not some fictitious organization in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a member-driven institution. But we're so fortunate that current president, Dr. Phil Oldham, serves on the D1 board. We do have great representative on the Division I Council with Dr. Tyner, and so the Ohio Valley Conference, and therefore then Tennessee Tech, we have a voice, and we're fortunate that we do on all these national issues that are so important to student athletes.
Well, I agree. And let's shift that gear to that important phrase you just used, student athletes. We call them students first and then athletes. Talk a little bit about that philosophy.
Well, they're here to get a degree from Tennessee Tech because they're going to make their lifelong living on their academic degree. We don't have young men and young women that do have the opportunity to play sports at Tennessee Tech. They're not going to make their lifelong living playing sports. Or if they do, those people are going to be few and far between. So that's why our focus is so much on academics. I've been so proud the last two semesters under a pandemic environment that we've had great success in the classroom and learning in new ways with, you know, hybrid classes and online classes and, just dealing with being in isolation and being in quarantine and still having to do your academic work and do it successfully. And we still continue to have above a 3.0 departmental grade point average.
It's amazing how talented these students are.
They are. So proud of them.
You give them extra support in the sense of focusing them a little bit more than maybe the average student. But they end up performing. They graduate at a higher rate. They have a higher grade point average. And this is a talented student body. They still do pretty well.
They do very well. And we're so proud of it. And that's why it's important that in the recruiting process, we recruit, you know, the right students with the right character and the right academic background to be able to be successful. And of course, also they may be able to happen to, you know, be a great, you know, softball pitcher and a great baseball hitter, and they can hit three pointers and, you know, throw for touchdowns and catch touchdowns and, you know, great golfers. So they have to be the total package.
They do. And, you are a bit unique in that we at Tennessee Tech, you as athletic director, you have an alumnus who's been commander of the International Space Station, who was a football player.
Yes, and so proud of Captain Wilmore and all that he does, and I'm excited for his next venture into space on the new spacecraft. And I know he is thrilled to be selected for that mission. Yeah. And he is a great representative of Tennessee Tech and the good that comes out of the young men and young women that decide to come to Tennessee Tech to be students, but also to be student athletes at Tennessee Tech. And I'm so proud of Barry and appreciate the way he represents us. And I'm thrilled that he's on the Board of Trustees and provides leadership to the campus as a whole.
He is paying back to his university in many, many ways. But yeah, he came here and studied engineering, not an easy topic, and still played football all of his years here, was a starter, and apparently was a pretty tough guy while he was playing here. But he's now going to be the commander of the first test flight of the Boeing space shuttle, the new Boeing spacecraft that's being tested this year.
Yes, and I know he's excited for that, and I'm proud of him for that, and that'll be more exposure for Tennessee Tech, and pray to God that he is safe in that mission that he has, because I know every mission that he goes on, he's always part of my prayers, but I pray for him extra hard. And I remember when he was going up to when he was going to command the space station, and he was leaving for that trip from Russia. And he was leaving and gave his daughters roses as he was going up. And I'm sitting there watching that online, and I got tears running down my face.
Yes.
But he's a great man and a great Tennessee Tech alum.
Yeah, his wife and daughters have had experiences that many would not have or could not possibly have. They're heroes too in a lot of ways.
They are.
Well, it's Mark, it's certainly been good to have you with us again. This has been Local Matters, and we've been talking about education matters, particularly matters affecting student-athletes, with Mark Wilson, the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Tennessee Tech. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Bob.